Film Radio.
Fred Film Radio presents Accessible Cinema, a program about media accessibility, sponsored by SubT Access, subtitling and audio description services for cinema, television, theatre performances, and other live events. Accessible Cinema.
Welcome to Fred Accessible Cinema, Fred's program on media accessibility and inclusion to inform you about the status of accessibility in the media industry. And in this new episode, we will know more about the trends, the innovations and the technologies that are shaping the world of media accessibility, also due to the changes that the COVID-19 pandemic has brought to the audiovisual industry. And we will start from the virtual event hosted by Languages and the Media 2020. So we will bring a glimpse of the Languages and the Media experience home to all our listeners. And as you may know, the Languages and the Media Conference brings together content creators, broadcasters, language service providers, but also researchers, trainers and practitioners, all those involved in the production, marketing and distribution of audiovisual content through localization and, of course, media accessibility. The impact of COVID-19 has become a trend accelerator for cloud infrastructure, for example, but also, as we all know, remote collaboration. And TV viewing and online video consumption have also boomed during global lockdowns. And advancements have been made in the deployment of artificial intelligence, but also machine translation in localization processes and access services. So, in this context, are trends in viewing habits changing? What is the role of post-editing? And speaking of post-editing, what about authorship rights? And more generally, what about quality standards? If we agree that the coronavirus crisis has increased the focus on accessibility services, especially media accessibility services, will it eventually lead to better quality or just to more quantity? Well, these are some of the topics we will be covering together with our very special guest today. So there is a lot to take in. Stay with us to know more about media accessibility and inclusion in COVID times.
Fred Film Radio.
Accessible Cinema.
Welcome back to Fred Accessible Cinema. This new episode is dedicated to the new challenges, but also opportunities for all of us in terms of accessibility and inclusion during and after COVID-19. So, to know more about that, we are going to listen to an interview with the keynote speaker of the Languages and the Media Virtual Event 2020, Agnieszka Sarkowska, Associate Professor at the Institute of Applied Linguistics, University of Warsaw in Poland, and with the two moderators of the industry roundtable of the virtual event, Lindsay Bywood, Senior Lecturer at the University of Westminster, London, and Christian Nikolic, Senior Lecturer at the University of Zagreb, Croatia.
Fred.
Freffy Radio, this is Francesca Raffi. Today we are going to know more about what has been happening in the world of media accessibility. We are joined by the keynote speaker of the Languages and the Media Virtual Event 2020, Agnieszka Sarkowska, Associate Professor at the Institute of Applied Linguistics, University of Warsaw, Poland. And we are also joined by the two moderators of the industry roundtable of the virtual event, Lindsay Bywood, Senior Lecturer at the University of Westminster, London, and Christian Nikolic, Senior Lecturer at the University of Zagreb, Croatia. Agnieszka, Lindsay and Christian, welcome to Fred. Thank you for joining us.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Thank you for having us.
First of all, how are you? A bit overwhelmed, I guess, after this long day?
Yes, a bit overwhelmed. And we have to warn the listeners that we've had some wine already because we were celebrating a great award to ask us, but please bear with us.
We are still with our glass of wines at hand, so
that's fine.
And it's quite strange, really, because, you know, normally when you have an event like this, you're in a hotel or a conference room or a university, and I'm in my bedroom with my slippers on. So it's quite weird.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And you normally go out and have a wild night out in Berlin.
Yeah, instead of being at home. Yes, as you said, it has been a special day. We had the chance to get together thanks to this virtual event, and also share a very important moment before the end of this year, that is a virtual ceremony for the 2020 Jani Rosen Award. We'll have the chance to talk about this with the ISIS president, Elena Di Giovanni, and the winner, so don't miss our next episodes of Accessible Cinema, of course. Well, we know that accessibility, linguistics, sensorial accessibility, so accessibility in its broadest sense, matters more than ever during COVID-19. And Agnieszka, the title of your keynote was exactly AVT in COVID times. So in your opinion, Agnieszka, what are the three major changes that COVID has brought to the field of media accessibility? I know it's not easy to pick just three and exclude others, but let's try to do our best.
Well, it is difficult, yes. I think one of the major changes, obviously, would be working from home. And that is nothing new, you could say, to freelance subtitlers or freelancers in general, freelance translators. So they've been there, you know, it's nothing new. They were getting the jobs. And even at the poll that was done at the event, what is it, like 2 or 3 hours ago, there was a question, you know, whether this year has been good or the same or better for you. A lot of people said that it was better, mm-hmm, or it was the same. So for a lot of freelancers, I don't think they experienced any important changes. And I think for for employers, this was they have to show like a leap of confidence in their employees, that they had to trust them working from home.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. And of course, I was showing this on the example of cloud dubbing, how this all moved, the whole thing moved online with the dubbing director and dubbing actors and voice talents working from home. And, you know, if we talked about it last year, we'll probably say, no, that's not really possible. Think about the quality and stuff like that. And now we can see that some things are possible. And yes, and I'm wondering what's going to happen after we get back to the new normal. Yeah. What is the new normal going to be? Not sure if I've listed three questions, if you're happy, but that's my take here.
Yes, I think that, the entertainment industry in general, as you said also during your keynote, is experiencing incredible growth.
That's right, yeah. That's right. So we have seen like an enormous surge in the numbers of subscribers to streaming.
Yes, you said 12 billion new customers.
Yes, correct? Apparently we watched during the first lockdown in April, watched twice as much streaming services for entertainment, as Alison from Netflix was saying during the event. That's mainly for entertainment, you know, to forget about it all, I suppose. But then a lot of people were turning to broadcast TV for news, for new guidance, which kept changing, right? Here I think that's, so let's say the increase in the number of subscribers and watching streaming services, that would be my number two. And then number three would be the accessibility or inaccessibility in certain cases of those government briefings, and, you know, the importance of this for society, basically.
And also maybe, as you mentioned during your keynote, the importance of uniformity in sign language interpreters. Sometimes they are off-site, sometimes they are on-site. So yes, maybe we realized that we have a lack of uniformity in the way, in this case, sign language interpreting is done, but more generally in the way accessibility services are maybe created.
That's right, yeah. Yeah. I think we have to, well, on the one hand, perhaps, I don't know, some people would say the European Union wants to regulate anything, even like the shape of the mm-hmm. banana, right, apparently. But in this particular case, mm-hmm. I think it would actually be good to have, I don't know, the minimum size of sign language interpreting during TV broadcasts available. We actually have some research on that, and I believe it's like 1/8 of the screen size that would be the minimum size, but then again it's not enforced in any way, so it would be good to see some good practices mm-hmm. supported by research, I suppose. Then again, a lot of people were watching those news, and I think it's very good for sign language interpreter to be visible, to be there, so that everybody, all members of society, can actually, you know, get used to those things.
Yeah, of course.
That's important. So that's the mainstreaming part that I meant.
Of course. And you also mentioned AVT teaching in COVID times. We moved online, or we had to move to hybrid modes. Agnieszka, do you think this is a positive thing in a way? I mean, do you think this could add something in terms of curriculum design? What do you think?
Well, I have to say, it has changed something for me in terms of my subtitling class, the class that I teach. Mm-hmm. My university organized some courses for tutors, and I attended all the possible courses, and I've learned about flipped classroom or flipped education, which was a new concept to me, which basically changes the paradigm of teaching, and it requires some maturity from students as well as a change in the way of teaching from the tutor. And I've been using this, and I have to say, either my students are so brilliant, or maybe it's this new method of teaching has really worked out. So I have to try again. And of course, I've produced, you know, more video tutorials, more stuff like this. So I'm going to keep it for next year, to be honest. So that's a new change, but it's always really good to actually be with people in the classroom. Yeah. And we've been very lucky because we use EasyTitle as our subtitling software, which we have installed in the lab. So, you know, when lockdown continued for universities here in Poland, I was you know, really worried what's going to happen.
Yeah, but we're very lucky. Something different. Yes, of course.
Yeah, but the thing is, we contacted the manufacturers and we got the licenses for free for our students, you know, to work from home.
Oh, that's great.
That's amazing. That's, you know, great. They understand that they have showed. We really, really appreciate that.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Well, yes, we were talking about not only the distribution, but also the production of accessibility services. And this is changing, of course, due to coronavirus. And the entertainment technology and localization companies worldwide are, let's say, increasingly relying on online platforms to create media accessibility services. And during the industry roundtable, we learned that the pandemic has, let's say, become a trend accelerator for cloud infrastructure and remote collaboration. So, Lindsay and Christian, I don't know, what does the industry think about all this, first of all? What are the main changes? What are the main opportunities? Can you summarize, let's say, what the industry says, what the industry thinks?
Well, I kept wanting to say this actually in the panel, but there didn't seem to be a good opportunity, because I know that Agnieszka had a nice slide with the video with people kind of recording into a duvet, and I don't know if your listeners probably saw that Kylie Minogue finished her album off at home, basically wrapped in a duvet, And I kind of think, well, if it's good enough for Kylie, then it's probably good enough for us. You know, it's good enough for them. So yeah. I think the industry is, yeah, I guess it depends on who you ask. Mm-hmm. Some companies, some sectors have really embraced, or we're already there, you know, we're already there with sort of cloud collaboration, yeah, and working online, and some, you know, it's always the way that there are some people who are more agile than others. So I think what Agnieszka could have said about you know the positives of the position that we find ourselves in, it is true that, you know, cloud working was here before 2020, and it has just accelerated the trend. And it, for me as an academic, I think it's important for my students to be familiar with that, because it's just a very normal way of working.
Way of working,
yeah. For some programs, maybe not for our programs, but for some programs, it's definitely an issue that they have to use free tools and that they can't access cloud subtitling or professional standard cloud subtitling tools. Christian, I don't know what you think.
Yeah, I think cloud is definitely the future. I mean, I've worked this year. I was among those who were overwhelmed with work, absolutely, because I also work as of this year, again, I worked as a freelance subtitler because Netflix has launched Croatian. I was lucky to subtitle some very exciting things for Netflix. And as you know, it's all in the cloud. The originator is in the cloud. Then I moved my teaching, because I teach both here in the UK and in Croatia. I teach subtitling courses. I managed to get UNA. So I moved my teaching into the cloud. And honestly, next term I have to teach Trados, which is not in the cloud. And I think that's a little bit retro now already, because everything is in the cloud. So, yeah, this year has changed many of these things. And as Agnieszka has said, I want to keep many of these things. I've done a testing online of students, which I had never done before. So online exams via Moodle. So I think that's to stay. I like them so much that I don't think I'll ever go on paper-based tests for younger students, for BA students. MA students, as I briefly said, what I noticed since introducing UNA, I've never had such an incredible, steep, sharp learning curve. I mean, really now we are halfway through the module at the University of Zagreb, and they are already subtitling with very few technical errors. Also, I had more time because I didn't have to waste time traveling back and forth. I had time to correct all their work.
Yeah, of course.
So it wasn't, yes, I do miss seeing all my colleagues and going to conferences, but it wasn't all bad.
Yeah, we have some advantages, let's say. The problem maybe is to have the chance to educate future audiovisual translators in cloud-based software programs. I don't know, what is your experience?
Well, I have to say I'm very lucky, because in the same way as Agnieszka we use WinCaps in the lab. Mm-hmm. We were given free WinCaps licenses. Okay, that's not in the cloud, but we also have UNA, which is in the cloud,
yeah,
that Christian
was
just talking about. So I think I'm sure there are other subtitling providers that have wonderful cloud solutions, but I think for the three of us, it's UNA has provided
UNA
that
is the
opportunity. Yeah, yeah,
UNA. Sorry, Lindsay, Plint as well. Plint is a very good platform. I use this for.
Are they sharing for students? I would be really.
I used it for. The European Parliament has set up subtitle and voiceover unit.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And I used it for the training there. So I had to learn a little bit of Plint, and I think it's just as good as UNA, so maybe Plint would be willing to share some of their.
So it's another option.
Yes, I would be hoping for that. Yeah,
that's great.
As I was saying during the conference, so we, you know, at the university, we were so happy a couple of years ago to get professional typing software. And then, you know, with time, like watching everything move online, and then every company producing their own, well, not every company, but like loads of companies produce their own
solutions,
and then proprietary software that you have no access to. So how can you teach, you know, the students? This is really difficult. So, you know, we've got professional solutions, but then they become dated, although they are like high tech, you know.
And thinking of, you know, software programs and technology in general, we also mentioned the use of artificial intelligence and machine translation in localization processes in general and access services. What do you think about this? I mean, is it something that will grow in the future? What do you think? What are your thoughts?
Can I start?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, I think it's definitely going to grow. And I think it's a great thing, actually. Because having experienced both, working with and without it, I've only started working with machine translation, actually with assisted translation for Netflix. And I can tell you that it saves up to 50% of your time.
I'm so surprised you're saying that.
So I subtitled all 40 episodes of The Crown, which is no secret. You can see it if you watch with Croatian subtitles. The last episode of season 4 was with machine translation. And I can avoid my permanent problem of typing with typos. Mm-hmm. B, consistency. It adds a lot of consistency.
True.
Plus, they feed all the subtitle into the machine. So you can actually get the, if something that you mentioned in season 1 and called it one way, it's like Trados, basically. You all of a sudden you get a better idea. So if I think it's a genuine attempt at hopefully increasing the quality of translation and helping translators, because what I saw also working as a QCer was an incredible amount of poorly made translations. And probably I hope that machine translation is going to help increase the quality. And people tell me who work with languages that have been using this assisted translation for longer than Croatian, which is a new language for Netflix, that the quality is pretty good. The danger I see is relying on it too much and not actually recognizing when you... So you're still behind the machine, in front of the computer, you still need an experienced subtitle.
Yes, Alison, I remember that. She said, we want machine translation systems to assist the professionals and skill the translators. And I remember she emphasized the adjective skilled so many times.
And I think it's true what was said many times, that there is a huge amount of content.
Mm-mm.
I mean, even before the increase in viewing, because we can't do anything else this year, content growing and growing and growing and growing, and so realistically, you know, even if every single one of my 90 students became a subtitler or a dubbing translator, that's still not going to help. It's going to help, but it's not going to, you know, there's not going to be enough person power. So I think assistance tools are really important.
Agnieszka, what do you think?
I totally agree with that. And I think what Netflix is doing is actually promoting a good quality. And I think they're really, by talking to subtitlers and being in touch with them, they promote good practices in the industry. And I hope just other companies, other like LSP, basically follow suit. One thing I wanted to say, so all those machine solutions, I think, are going to stay with us. I think it really sank in when I saw that Google got interested in this technology. And I think once Google gets interested, you know, it's going to grow.
Yeah.
And one worry that I have is that I get an impression, I might be wrong, but maybe it's just, you know, developers, IT people, programmers are working on that, and not very many translators, dubbing translators, are involved in this process of machine dubbing.
Mm.
So I think I would like to see more collaboration. I think they would perhaps want to, you know, contact professional dubbing translators and, you know, get feedback from them, you know, get involved.
I mean, you mean audiovisual translators in general or just dubbing translators? I mean, you think...
Well, the solution I'm thinking about was is the machine dubbing for those educational videos that Google is now doing. But I suppose if they get it right, it will grow to other contexts. It may grow. And what I would like to see is that it's not only IT people who are working on it, but it's also translators who are involved, who are on board as well.
It's really interesting, actually, that whole thing, because when we did the Sumat project a long time ago now, started in 2011, the computational linguists that we worked with on the machine translation solutions were all said that they were desperate to talk to translators, but they either didn't know how to get in touch with the right people, or the people that they did get in touch with were not interested in talking to them. And so for them, it was a really enriching experience that we were in the project. Yotta was in it with me as well. That we were there to sort of, you know, to work together. And I wonder if that's similar, and that maybe I'm giving Google that maybe I'm giving them too much credit. I don't know. But whether they don't know, they don't know where to go, they don't know who to ask, they don't know they should ask even. I do find quite often we're quite loud amongst ourselves, but we're quite invisible in the world as AVT translators. And you know, if someone asks you what you do, they'll quite often say, oh, I didn't know a person did that. You know, even sort of 20 years ago, you'd say, well, I subtitle movies, you know, like Downfall. Yeah. And they would say, oh, I thought a computer did that. And, you know, the computer didn't do any of it back in those days, really. So I just wonder whether, you know, and I don't know what the answer is, but I wonder whether, you know, we maybe need to be a bit more like, hey, would you like would you like a chat?
Well, speaking of changes and transformations, what new normal should we be expecting beyond 2020 in terms of both production and distribution of media accessibility services? What do you think? What are your thoughts?
I don't think we'll ever go back to our old ways. The other day I said to my students, the only thing that's permanent in this profession is that the change is constant.
Yeah.
So all we can do is, you know, take what we have learned and go forward. I mean, we are never going to go back to using a piece of paper and a pen. So that's definitely not going to happen. So I think many exciting new things are coming that we are not maybe even aware of. And we have discovered ways of collaborating and working that we never had before. And also, I didn't say that also in the event, but I think we are extremely lucky that we can actually continue working almost, I wouldn't say as normal, but we still work, right? And we don't have to expose ourselves to, I don't know, like doctors do in hospitals, to deadly amounts of virus. So in a way, our profession hasn't been, dubbing has been affected quite severely, but we have also learned new things.
Yeah, and I think what's going to stay with us is doing things online. So I suppose, you know, people wouldn't want to travel that much and would expect some of the events to be broadcast live. And then
maybe to have at least a double option, so both live.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I'm not saying live events are not going to happen. Oh, God forbid. but yes, you know, as an option, as an extra option there. And obviously some of us don't want to contribute to carbon footprint and all those things. And then accessibility, I think, is going to hopefully be with us with all those live subtitles on Zoom or Google Meet and other video conferencing systems. So that's the thing I would expect, you know. And then Working from your bedroom and feeling okay with it as well, right?
Lindsay, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I did an event. There's an event in London called The Language Show that you may be aware of, and we've done it for years. It's usually in a big conference hall, and you usually get sort of 150, 200 participants, perhaps, if you're lucky. And it was online this year, and I had 800 participants. And it was just so wonderful. We had people from all over the world. And in a way, I wanted to say it sort of democratizes that sort of thing.
Yeah, that's true.
It doesn't entirely, because it means you still have to have a PC and an internet connection. At least it's not, these sorts of, as you were saying, as Agnieszka was saying, people, all those people that were in languages in the media, maybe some of them wouldn't have been able to travel. And so from that point of view, I think it's really wonderful. And it's really wonderful to kind of move the center of focus away from Western Europe as well, or Western Europe and America, say.
That's true.
Because we can hear people from all over the world much more easily. I also sort of think on a more negative point, or possibly not negative, that money, sort of money is the thing that supports most decisions, and if things are cheaper to be done online because you don't have to pay for an office or buy a conference room, or then those things will definitely stay, and some things will be good and some things will not be good. And one more thing I also want to say, so I've just remembered, I think it's been really amusing actually how all of a sudden some things are okay. So it's okay to have somebody on a Zoom line or a Skype line on the BBC all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Whereas, 12 months ago, that would have been unheard of.
Yeah.
That you could have such a poor quality. And actually, it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. It's true.
Yeah. So I guess from the point of view of dubbing, that will probably have an effect on what stays and what doesn't stay. Because if it's okay for, John Simpson to be fuzzy, then, maybe we can tolerate greater flexibility in what we have in terms of audiovisual media.
We are more flexible now, and we can say, well, it's not perfect, but it does work, so it's okay.
It's good enough.
Yeah, that's true. Well, the audience of the Languages and the Media virtual event said that one of the main changes that will persist post-pandemic will be the focus on access services and media accessibility in general. So I think that we will have a lot of things to do and to talk about together also in our next episodes of Accessible Cinema. So thank you very much, Agnieszka, Lindsay and Christian, for joining us today after this long day. Thank you very much.
It was a pleasure.
Thank you.
Red Film Radio.
Accessible Cinema.
We have just listened to an interview with Agnieszka Sarkowska, Lindsay Bywood and Christian Nikolic. We discussed what new normal we should be expecting beyond 2020, and what challenges, but also opportunities, lie ahead for content producers, distributors, technology providers, researchers, but also freelancers in the field of media accessibility. And we discussed the evolving workplace and industry trends, the role of new technologies, and the need for new legislations and new practices. We know that this field is always changing. So if you want to keep track of how the media accessibility field is tackling the challenges of COVID-19, don't miss our next episode of Accessible Cinema. Meanwhile, you can visit the Media Accessibility Platform's website, mapaccess.org, the first collaborative online platform gathering information on the history and the state of the art of research, policies, training, practices and conferences in the field of media accessibility. Bye for now. This is Francesca Raffi, and this is Fred Accessible Cinema on Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio.
Fred Film Radio presents Accessible Cinema, a program about media accessibility, sponsored by SubT Access, subtitling and audio description services for cinema, television, theatre performances and other live events. Accessible Cinema.
Fred Film Radio.
24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.